Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says.
Why do you need prophets to tell people who you are and what you want?
If you can justify everything that the God of the Bible has done, then you can justify any of your behavior.
A lot of this mentality is trickling into what is now mainstream right-wing Christianity.
I am capable of empathy greater than this God of the Bible.
This is a Bible that they tell kids. This is the good Lord. This is the good book. He is fantasizing about murder, mass murder.
Head over to sacrilegiousdiscourse.com right now to find out how to leave us a review or support us on Patreon.
Husband!
Wife!
Do you know what we're doing today?
Well, the last time we did a regular episode, we read Matthew chapter 24.
Sure as fuck did.
Yeah, and in that chapter, Jesus leaves the temple and threatens that it's going to be destroyed and launches into an end times prophecy that's got wars and earthquakes and famines, false messiahs, falling stars, trumpet blasting angels, vultures, and just like
dogs all and kinds cats of living
apocalyptic
together.
Bullshit.
Yeah, it's like he went ahead and read what's that last final book? The Revelation.
Yeah.
Read that book.
Yeah, and it ends with him like, you know, saying that disobedient people will be cut into pieces and there will be like weeping and gnashing of teeth and, you know, just the most wonderful, gentle, awesome Jesus you can imagine, right?
You go to hell.
This is not the Jesus that I was told about.
This is not the
This is not the Jesus anybody asked for.
No.
In my opinion.
Nobody wants this Jesus.
Nobody wants the mean Jesus. Fuck a mean Jesus.
Yeah.
That's not cool, man.
Mm-mm.
You know? Just like, I feel like the dude is more Jesus-y in his actions.
Sure.
Than Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like the dude would make a better religion than Jesus of Nazareth.
I mean, pretty much, I think most people on weed.
Right, right. And
would make a better.
What was that? What was that show? What was that movie called? Is it just, it's not The Dude, is it?
It's not.
What the hell is it called? I can't remember what the name of the movie is.
It's that movie.
It's that
about
movie.
The dude.
With, that guy. That
Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges, yeah, yeah. The Big Lebowski.
Yes.
Thank you, Brady.
Yes, The Big Lebowski.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, so that was Matthew chapter 24.
Yeah, the opposite of The Big Lebowski.
The opposite of The Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
Yeah, and which means that today we're going to be reading
more of not The Big Lebowski, Little Maddie chapter 25.
All right, let's do this.
Okie dokie. We are hopping into Little Maddie, chapter 25.
Okay.
And you know how every once in a while my eyes accidentally read the little headline descriptor and we decided not to read those?
Yeah.
Because
it gives away shit.
Well, and they're not part of the text.
Right? Yeah, they're not official Bible-y things, except for that they're in the Bible. Sometimes, usually.
Depends on the Bible.
Yeah, and then they change sometimes on different...
But listen.
Yeah.
My eyes saw this.
Yeah.
And you asked, are you ready? And I said, I don't think either of us is ready for this.
Sure.
And it's because... And so, I'm sorry, I have to read this headline.
Okay.
This headline to this section that we're about to read is called The Parable of the Ten Virgins.
Okay.
And I'm not ready for this. Are you ready for this?
I mean, there's only one way to find out, right?
Oh, I feel like this is going to be so bad.
Is this all just one parable, like a really long parable?
No, that's the name of the first part of this, the first section. Okay. I said.
All right.
Yeah. So we're going to read about the parable of the ten virgins.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not excited about it. Okay.
Okay.
At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom.
Okay.
10 virgins, the bridegroom.
Yeah.
So,
this sounds
a man marrying 10 young girls.
Got marrying it. Or?
He's the bridegroom.
Right, but why? Okay.
Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish one took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. That was foolish.
Right. Okay.
The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. That is smart. If you're going to take your lamp, take your oil, dum-dum.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
The bridegroom was a long time in coming. Yeah, he was. They kept stopping. They'd be like, almost there. Stop, stop, stop.
Right. Yeah.
And they all became drowsy and fell asleep. I mean, you can only go so long.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
They were waiting for him. And he took forever. So
sure. Okay.
They became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins, I love that we keep calling them the virgins.
Yeah.
You know, the girls that ain't fucked, the virgins.
Sure.
Okay?
Okay.
They woke up and trimmed their lamps, the wicks.
Yeah, the wicks. Sure.
The foolish ones said to the wise, "Yo, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "Nah," they replied. "There may not be enough for both us and you. Fuck off."
Okay.
"Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." I mean, duh. I'm not here to share. Right. Sorry. Bye. Get your own.
Sure.
But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. So the foolish ones probably had to do without the guy.
I guess. Yeah. This story is a little weird.
I know. I'm waiting for the parable to like, oh, that's what that means.
Sure.
Okay. The virgins, the girls who ain't fucked, who were ready, went in with him to the wedding banquet.
Okay.
And the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Load, load," they said. "Open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you." Hmm. Womp, womp. "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour."
Oh.
We learned that parable.
This is like before. The Boy Scout motto.
Always, never not always, be ready. Always be prepared.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That was a long walk.
Yeah. Couldn't you just say something like always be prepared? Like the why?
Always be prepared.
Why did virgins have to get involved in that?
Why did they ain't fucked? You know how there's girls and they ain't fucked?
Let alone 10 of them. Why has it got to be 10 virgins?
You know how there's 10 girls and they ain't fucked? Because yeah. I'm sorry. That's
it's just
what,
really weird.
Right? Yeah. Like, it's such a weird way to define and describe a person.
Yeah.
When you say virgin, that's what you're saying. You know these people that ain't fucked yet?
Right. All to say something very...
non-sexual related at all.
Well, I mean, at least seemingly.
I mean...
Right. No, except for that they talked about virgins all the way through. So, like, there is some sexual intonation in that story. Just, but why?
You never know if you're going to get laid or not. You should always be prepared to get laid. You girls who ain't fucked should always be prepared to all marry the same man.
Mm. Yeah.
See, what I got out of that was always be prepared to not be prepared so that you ain't got to marry the same man. Don't bring your oil. All right, now we're moving on to the parable of the talents. And I read that one because that's actually the name of a really excellent sci-fi book. And it is so good.
Okay.
It's the sequel to The Parable of the Sower.
Got it.
Which you read.
Okay.
By Octavia Butler.
I'm sure you're right.
It's fucking excellent. It's a classic of sci-fi. Highly esteemed, well-respected. Definitely, if you haven't read it, add it to your list.
Right.
Okay. The Parable of the Sower and the sequel, The Parable of the Talents.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey. Oh, we get to hear like all these different parables about always be prepared and you don't know when God's coming. So always be prepared for just in case Jesus be showing up on your porch.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a feeling that's what this whole fucking chapter is going to be.
Seems that way.
Boring. All right. It'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Well, that was his fault. I mean, we won't even give our password to our Discord listeners.
Right. Yeah.
And our Discord listeners know to show up every Tuesday at 10 p.m.
Right. Or the address to where I work.
Right. Yeah. And they wanted that too.
Yeah. So
those fuckers.
If you show up, you can't have either of those.
Maybe if you show up next Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, you too can be denied our passwords and our addresses. All right. But to one of the servants, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Well, that was good.
So the guys that got 5 bags, they had lots of ability.
They were on T. So, okay. Yes.
All right.
And the other ones were little. They did not have enough testosterone.
Right.
So that's the way that went.
Okay.
I guess. I don't know.
Whatever. I don't know how much ability it takes to carry gold, but whatever.
I couldn't carry much gold. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. I thought they were just holding it for him.
Right, but
I
didn't apparently know they're investing it.
They're spending it.
Hmm.
This doesn't seem right.
So, like, his idea of entrusting it, like, these are his workers who invest for him?
I don't know.
Okay.
So also, the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the one who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money.
Okay.
After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.
Okay.
I don't...
But, like, what did you pay him for making you 5 bags of gold? Because I feel like, you know...
Also, I'm not sure that... I feel like I'm missing something in this story. Because if I said, here, hold this for me. That's not me saying, and go...
Oh, I'm sure we're missing something. Somewhere. I'm sure that this is meant to be... They're supposed to do something with it.
Well, I thought they were just holding it for him because gold is heavy and you can't be traveling around with it all the time.
Who knows?
The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.
What if the investment that you put your money into for him, like, failed?
What if you lost right?
money, right?
Yeah.
Then you're not faithful and you're not a good servant for trying as hard. Like, let's just say you tried as hard as you could, right?
Right.
Like, the only thing that's making these people good is that they got
a they made a good bet. Investment,
right?
They bet good.
Right. But usually somebody loses in the end, right?
They gambled well.
Those people suck, and these people are good.
And I'm sorry, but isn't investing, that's gambling, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's fancy gambling.
Sure.
It's rich people gambling.
Right.
But I thought Christians aren't for gambling.
I mean, it's not saying specifically gambling, but, you know, whatever.
But it is investing, which is a form of gambling.
Sure.
Sorry, but it is. If there's a chance you could lose money on it, it's gambling. You're making a bet that you're going to get your money back and then some.
Well, that's pretty much any action in life, right?
Yeah.
So you could put all of life down to...
Okay, but let's not. We're not... No, I'm not playing that fucking game. They were putting their money into investments, which could turn sour.
Sure.
But they didn't. So right. Now God loves them.
I guess.
I don't understand. But anyway, the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. But he gave it back. He
sure
hid it so that he was not...
He did what he could do.
Yeah. I bet he gets in trouble because he didn't double it.
If I tried to invest this, I might have lost it. So,
and it's all you had, yeah, and I didn't want to lose it.
You can have it back now.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he's going to get in trouble, though.
You think?
Yeah.
Hmm.
His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant.
Oh, fuck.
So you knew that I harvest where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers. Should I have? Really?
Okay.
I thought we're against the bankers.
Why didn't you just tell them to do that then?
Right? What if you gave clear instructions instead of, like, being a weirdo?
Right.
Who doesn't... You told me to hold it, asshole.
Yeah. You didn't tell me what that meant.
So that when I returned home, I would have received it back with interest.
And look, okay, well, here's the other thing, right? This guy told him to hold the money, and he only got one bag because he knew his ability, quote unquote, wasn't good.
Right.
So he wasn't expecting much from him in the first place.
Right.
And now he's getting angry with him because he
lived up to exactly what he thought. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm curious where this is going to end, but like, I don't like this story.
I don't like this story either.
Right.
I'm curious not just to see where it ends. I'm also curious to see what we're getting wrong and misunderstanding
sure.
from lacking context. But from what I'm seeing, he's telling them to invest, which is counter to what we've been told they like to do, and is also a form of gambling, which they're also not supposed to be doing.
Regardless, like it's
a dumb story.
There's no instructions, much like the rest of the Bible. There's no instructions.
The instructions are very instructions,
but you can disregard them sometimes and sometimes not. So,
yeah, they're very weird.
Yeah.
So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance.
Well, look,
that
this guy
sounds about right.
This guy's in luck though. Because Jesus said that those with the least will be the most.
Yeah.
So I feel like he won in the end.
Did he?
Regardless of what the story wants to tell us.
I don't know. I really like the whoever has will be given more and they will have an abundance. I feel like that is so fucking true. The more you have, the easier it is to make money.
Oh, it's true.
And it's like, we're supposed to take spiritual pleasure from this because we're supposed to understand that he's speaking spiritually. If you already have a good spirit, it's going to be easier to be good and have a good spirit.
Right.
And I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. So basically, if you were a child from a broken home who was assaulted and had all kinds of bad luck on you, you're pretty much going to have a hard time of it getting in God's good graces. It's going to be harder for you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you didn't come from a good family.
Right.
It's going to be harder for you. And I'm like, yeah, that is the American way, actually, Jesus. Thank you.
Yeah. Finally. And you could apply that to money or spiritualness.
Right. You are like, finally speaking something that actually applies to 2026 America, Jesus.
Right, but applying it in a way that is shitty because, the story is overall is really, really weird to me because of the whole God, you know, Jesus wants us to be the least, right? And this story is like, well, if you have more, you have more. You're going to get more. Mm-hmm. And like, well, this isn't about getting more. And I know that they're equating this to spiritualness, not
money. But you shouldn't use money then.
Right, don't use money as the fucking parable. Like, that's really stupid.
They're like, you know how I want you to be rich? And it's like, no, you literally just spent the last 24 chapters telling us don't be rich.
Right.
Don't be rich.
I'm quite certain that bits of this end up in the prosperity gospel. Mm-hmm. I'm sure. I don't know that to be 100% true, but it sure sounds like something that they'd be like, well, and Jesus said blah, 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 blah.
And I'm like, yeah, but for 24 chapters, he went on about how fucking being rich can't get into heaven very easily. It's going to be. And now he's like, being rich is awesome.
Yeah,
always never not be rich.
If you're rich, you'll get even richer.
And it's like, yeah, we fucking know.
Right.
Ugh. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. Yep. No, that is so fucking true. Like, how many people in America are one flat tire away from homelessness?
Right. And it's such a shitty place to be. And to imagine that this is how God intends it.
Mm-hmm.
Is this how God intends it? Because apparently, if that's true.
Good job.
Fuck him.
Good job,
I'm
God.
Sorry, but like,
America
fuck
is
him.
Definitely on the right track in your
such
plan.
Such a bullshit way to treat humans.
Yeah.
Like, you literally think that they should just be good before they have the ability to be good.
Human rights only come if you're born lucky.
If you could just be born with all the good things, then you'll be good. And then you'll get into heaven and everything will be good and awesome. And also, just before you die, make sure you give all your money to God first, too.
Mm-hmm.
By
mm-hmm.
God, I mean the church, because obviously somebody has to take it physically.
Yeah.
And then, you know, everything will be awesome and you'll go to heaven. But the poor, you know, even though they're the least amongst us, They don't try hard enough either, so they're actually not the least.
Among,
you have to be the least, but also wealthy. You have to have the most and then become the least, but you can't have the least and then be the least. Like, that's just this common sense, you know? Like, that's how it works.
It's like listening to people about, I don't know, 15 years ago when minimalism became like this lifestyle thing. And it's like listening to people describe minimalism, except it wasn't about poor people finding ways to live in a stoic way, like, and to find a way to be happy with what they have, and to, like, you know, just, I don't know, like, survive on bare minimum, but in a very thoughtful and philosophical manner, right? Like, that's what it was supposed to be. But what it actually was millionaires being able to afford to live a minimalist lifestyle because, yeah, they didn't need all these different devices and things in their kitchen. They could just have the one $20,000 coffee maker that did all the things.
And of course, because they're skipping on all the devices, they can go eat out at fucking five-star restaurants every night. Mm-hmm. And then you don't need all the things, obviously. Yeah,
you don't need to cook because you can afford to eat out all the time.
Sure.
Or conversely, you can afford the super expensive investment in that one $20,000 frying pan and never eat out because you have the best frying pan.
Of course.
Like, it's always a rich person explaining to poor people how to, if you would just stop buying Starbucks every day. Like, bitch, poor people are not buying Starbucks every
day. Apparently it applies to spiritualism too.
Yeah.
You just have to have the most spirit and be the richest in spirit to have the most spirit. Didn't you know?
You have to be born white into a wealthy family. Sure. That's what you have to be. That is what Jesus wants you to do, apparently, in America.
Right.
I don't know if that's what Jesus always intended.
Well, they weren't white back when Jesus was, you know, but speaking to people.
It feels like he was gearing this toward 2026 America. I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. But it definitely does feel like he is speaking to people who should already be rich.
Let's just go with this. It's a really confusing fucking message.
It definitely is that.
Based on what he's already taught, quote unquote, taught us.
Right. He's like, never not be rich, except for don't be rich also.
Right. Yeah.
Just choose wisely.
Right.
Okay. In any given moment, read my brain.
If you listen to all the contradictions I just said and do it all correctly, then you'll always be right, don't you know? But you can never be wrong, but you'll always be right.
Yeah.
Even though you're wrong. Sometimes you're right, though. Mm-hmm. And this time you're wrong.
I like popsicles.
You got that, right?
Popsicles.
Okay, yeah.
And throw that worthless servant outside. Yeah. The one who didn't gamble my one
bag. The one who gave you the fucking money back in a very secure manner because he secured it.
Right.
Okay.
And into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, basically he's like, fuck that guy. Yeah. I hope he burns in hell. Kill him.
Like, it sounded like me that he was... He's like, I just didn't want to fuck up.
Yeah, you know? I didn't want to fuck this up for you, guy.
Right.
So I just buried it. I wasn't sure what to do. You didn't leave me any instructions.
That sounds like a really shitty reaction to me.
Your boss sucks, dude.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, don't work for that company.
No.
All right, moving on. Next section. When the Son of Man, who we now know as Jesus, comes in his glory, and all the angels with him. Oh, we got angels.
Okay, yeah.
He will sit on his glorious throne.
Mm.
Oh, we're back to, like, Old Testament stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. Angels and thrones and shit.
Right.
All the nations. Yeah, this is definitely Old Testament stuff. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats.
Okay.
So... some are going to be good and some are going to be bad.
Right.
Because goats are always bad, right?
Or they're the greatest of all time.
You just don't know.
You know?
Yeah. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left.
Because right's good, left's bad.
Left's bad. Never be left-handed.
That's definitely in the Old Testament.
Yeah. Don't be left-handed, y'all.
Right, yeah.
Left is bad.
According to God.
According to God. Not me. I don't give a fuck. Then the king, capital K... will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. I was sleepy and you made me coffee in the morning.
You know who I really don't
see doing? I made up that last one.
Sure. No, I got it. You know who I really don't see doing these things?
Who? Christians? Yeah. No. No. Not at all.
Just, you know.
Let's see. Let me start it. Yeah, they're definitely not going to be giving anybody anything to eat, nor are they. Oh, actually, remember when they made voting so difficult?
Yeah.
They made it illegal to give water to people standing in line.
Now, I do want to say a lot of churches do run food banks, so they do give food out to people sometimes.
All right.
Like, I'm not, cool. I just want to be fair here a little
bit. No, that's true. You know. But still, my example of the voting.
Yeah.
And they made it illegal to give people who were standing out in the sun for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to give them water.
Right.
So
right.
There's that.
Yeah.
Also, they were arresting people in, I think it was in New York, but it might have been L.A., one of the coastal blue cities.
Sure.
They were arresting people who were trying to feed and clothe the homeless,
yeah.
The unhoused. So, yeah, not cool. Listen, I'm not going to knock anybody for not inviting in a stranger. Honestly, if somebody knocked on your door, would you invite them in?
Probably not.
I would not. And right. I'm not going to be upset with anybody that turns away a stranger.
But let me just say this. I don't find many of the Christians to be overly giving in spirit.
No.
On a personal basis,
no,
right?
They're like, should work harder. You should just go get a job.
Sure.
You right. Lazy bum.
Now, churches obviously have non-profit-y things that they try to work towards as a group,
yeah.
Like the food banks and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But individuals that I have met in this world, most of the more giving are either liberal Christians mm-hmm. or non-Christians.
Yeah.
And I don't find the evangelical Christians to be very giving people a lot of the time.
No, the evangelicals think that you deserve your plate.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I just recently read a story in the neighbor app or neighborhood app.
Okay.
About this lady was saying that a little girl knocked on her door and asked if she could use her bathroom. And the lady was like, where the hell is your mom?
Yeah.
And the girl was like, I live two streets over and I just got too hot and I have to use the bathroom.
Yeah.
So the lady let her use the bathroom, which was nice.
Yeah.
I would never probably. I'd probably be like, I'll walk you home. Let's go. And then she gave the girl a cup of water and the little girl kept like looking around and asking questions. And the lady was like, look, I'm really busy. Here's your water. Bye.
Right.
Get out and go. And, like everybody in the comments, 100% was like, lady, that kid was scamming you. She was casing the joint. People use kids to see what you got.
Ooh.
Like, she was checking your medicine cabinets for drugs to sell.
Oh,
prescription
damn.
Drugs. She was looking at your house to see what you had. Like,
right.
100% of the comments assumed yeah. that they had no proof whatsoever.
Sure.
They knew for a fact, though, that this kid was a scam artist. They were like, it is so nice that you did that. You are a fool. Don't let nobody into your fucking house. And when I say this, about 75 to 80% of the people on this neighborhood app
yeah.
are vocal, vociferous, enthusiastic, very, very evangelical Christians.
Sure. Well, and yeah.
I know, mixed messages. I'm not sure what I would do. I don't think it is wrong necessarily to not let a stranger even a kid into your house.
Right.
I don't think that the Christians were necessarily wrong in this case. I just think it is funny that they were the ones who are both the loudest, let's be Christian goodness, and also that kid was scamming you hard, bitch. So there's that.
Well, yeah. I
don't know. Would you let that kid use your bathroom?
I don't know.
I'd be like, walk you home, baby. Let's go. Where's your mom and dad? Yeah. And I'll lock up because I ain't about it. I'm sorry. Right. And that's me being nice because I don't want to go outside.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But I'm not letting nobody in my house. And who am I kidding? Honestly, I probably wouldn't even have answered the door in the first place.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's more likely.
That's the truth. Yeah. All right. Anyway, he's like, I needed all this shit and you gave me all this shit and you visited me in prison and that was awesome of you.
Yeah.
To the people on the right. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? They're like, that's cool that you're saying this, but what are you talking about?
Right.
We never did that.
Yeah.
When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you never know.
For anybody, you did it for him.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You shall just always be nice.
Sure.
But I still ain't letting a kid in my house.
And I generally am.
Yeah.
I feel like I operate in this world as a very nice, caring human being, generally speaking.
Yeah.
You know, like I try to be genuine with most people that I meet and treat them as though they exist in the world and are a human just like me.
Yeah.
You know, like, and by when I say that, I mean that in the way that I feel like a lot of people don't acknowledge other people.
Right.
You know, and I like to acknowledge other people. And and make a point of being friendly towards people, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's important, but because most people don't. But I don't think that that's anything to do with God or religion or spiritualness. It's just how I choose to operate in this world because I think that getting along with my neighbors and getting along with people around me ultimately is a good way to behave in society. And it, you know, it benefits everybody because, you know, we can work together easier, you know, and it just makes sense to me.
I mean, our neighbors that we sometimes are like, because they have that little Buddha Trump statue in their backyard.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they saw that our lawnmower was smoking.
Yeah.
And so they mowed the front lawn for me.
Wait, our lawnmower was smoking?
Remember when I told you I called you at work?
Oh, the battery. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
the,
right.
The old one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's new to us, but an older lawnmower.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I called you at work because I was trying to mow, and it was like, I thought it was kicking up pollen at first.
Yeah.
And then I realized that it was smoke, and then it was like smoking hard, and I was scared that it was going to catch fire or explode or something, so I stepped away from it, and I was freaked out, and I did not know that my neighbors were in the backyard and that they saw the whole thing, and later that day, they mowed the front yard for me because they had seen me out there struggling with the smoking lawnmower. And I mean, I didn't ask them to do that. They just did it because they're nice and we don't even like talk or anything.
Occasionally, but
no, we never chat.
Right.
We're just more like, hey, girl.
Yeah.
At most.
Right.
Or like, hey, I saw a dude like walking weird down the street and I just wondered if you caught him on your Ring camera kind of thing.
Right.
That happened like several months ago.
Right.
But that's it. Like we don't really chat with them. They're on friendly terms with us, but
yeah.
Anyway, point being, just be nice for the nice sake. You don't need a prize out of it.
Yeah.
Just fucking be nice.
Yep.
Okay, anyways, here's where he's going to say some bad shit.
Okay.
Because he's done with the people on his right.
Yeah, no, we're talking about the left hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Never be left-handed, y'all.
Never, never.
Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.
Wow. Wow.
For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in to examine your medicine cabinet for drugs. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me.
Sure.
They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?
Right.
They're like, the fuck are you talking about? We don't know you.
Yeah.
He will reply, truly. I love that he's like, he being me, third person.
Yeah.
I'm the king, by the way.
Right.
But it's rude to call myself the king, so I'm going to refer to myself in the third person as that king over there.
Right.
But we all know it's me.
Yeah.
Okay. That king over there, who is also me, he will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Yay, the end.
Sure.
Ah, so this is where the you're going to be punished for eternity comes in.
Right.
Like, up until now, it's kind of like just like, I don't know, afterlife has been kind of hazy. And, like, if you don't go to the magical good place, there's not a lot to say about, you just don't go there if you're bad.
Yeah.
Now it's, not only don't you go to the good place, now you go to the bad place and you suffer and hellfires and damnation and you'll get your skin torn off every morning at 5 a.m. and no coffee for you.
Yeah.
It's so childish and silly, well, if we're being honest.
And I gotta be honest. Like, what is the level of help you have to give in order to get in? Like, what if people just constantly, because they know you'll give all the help, what if you just get asked your whole life to give, right?
Mm-hmm.
And leaves you with literally nothing for yourself.
Well, I was gonna
say.
But
then the one person that gives once, but nobody ever asked them for anything else, are you judged the same?
See, okay, I wondered that because, like, when I used to work at Borders, right, like, we had to do this, what is that, like, loyalty card, right? Sure. And this son of a bitch supervisor guy named Adam, I hated him so fucking much. He sold one, and so his sale rate was 100%, and he would never work on cash registers ever again so that he could keep that 100% rate. Yeah. I bet you didn't know that, did you?
No.
But I worked there every day. So my percentage wasn't 100%. Was he a better salesperson than me?
No.
But the numbers didn't show that. The numbers showed he's at 100%. Every sale he made or every sale he went up for, he made.
Right.
Yeah. So what is that? That's not.
Yeah.
What is the percentage?
It's not a fair judgment.
Right. That's where I was going with that.
Yeah. And that's the problem, right? Like, like, what is the criteria?
Yeah.
The criteria is not, regardless of, yes, we're talking in good and evil and all these black and white scenarios, right?
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
have to do these things. You have to give to the least and blah, blah, blah.
Listen,
blah, blah.
How much flair do I need to wear?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Just be clear. Well, you should want to wear as much flair, blah, blah. No, just tell me.
No,
tell me specifically how much flair I need to wear.
But that's exactly right. So we're talking about Office Space, right? Or Office, yeah.
Yeah, Office Space, the movie.
The movie.
Yeah.
And in Office Space, the movie, there's Jennifer Aniston who
is a
working
waitress
at this restaurant and they have to wear buttons. And she's like, just tell me how much I need to fucking wear and I'll
wear it. That's what the flair is.
Right. And but then you have the exuberant people who are like, they're wearing all the flair and they do all the things.
They only had to wear three. So she wore three and she just picked randomly out of the box. Right. Whatever.
Like, I'm just here doing a fucking job, man.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really care.
Yeah.
Like, do you really want me to care? Like,
that's something different.
Right. That's something different. Like, you don't pay me enough to care.
Yeah.
Whatever. But then there's always those people who go above and beyond, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're judged on whatever the judging level is, and you just want to know what that level is.
Right.
Right? Like, so what do I have to do to seem as fucking giving and flary as fucking Chad over there?
You
know, like, why, what do I got to do to be Chad?
Right.
Like, well, apparently you just got to, it's not about the buttons, right? You got to care. You got to care.
Right.
You could have three as long as you really own those three, right? This is what the message is. But the message is also you got to follow the rules, right?
Right.
So which one is it? They can't, even in the New Testament, they can't get this fucking right.
Yeah.
They can't really answer the question because they go back and forth. They're like, well, yeah, you got to follow the rules. Oh, but you also have to mean it. And okay, but if you mean it, you have to mean it the right way by also following the rules. But also sometimes you can break the rule. Like, holy fuck, what are you doing here?
And let me ask you this. I babysat almost daily for somebody for 2 years to the detriment of myself, my health, my mental health and physical health, and at times even our marriage, because you were not fucking thrilled about it because it took a lot of time and gas money that we did not have, and I was not available because it was like full time not getting paid. I was over there taking care of somebody else.
Yeah.
Right. And it was very hard all the way around.
Yes.
And I started to pull out of the situation. And so then they offered to pay me.
Yeah.
So then I did another 2 years, and instead of getting better, it got even worse.
Sure.
And finally I stopped altogether.
Right.
But the thing is, I was giving of myself. I was trying to be to somebody else what I had not received when I needed it.
Right.
And that was literally why I was doing that. I wanted to be helpful to somebody in a way that I had not received help when I was a young mom.
Yeah.
But it ended up not being good. It was not a good situation for me. So the question is, when are you being generous and being judged on your generosity? Like, how far do you have to fucking go? How much flair was I supposed to give before it was okay to walk away? I'm no longer... Wow. I had a lot to say about that.
Wife gestures quite a bit.
And I just knocked over just my fucking coffee.
Yeah. Sometimes y'all hear clinking, but that was a full on just like...
I knocked over my mug, man.
Yeah.
It's all good. None of it spilled.
Okay.
I caught it.
That's great.
But my question was, how much flair did I have to wear in that relationship? We are no longer friends. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, am I going to get prizes for that eventually in this quote unquote heavenly judgment zone of God? Or like, but I quit though, so am I the asshole? My friend would have you believe that.
I think sometimes that's what I was saying. Like, to what extent do you have to do these things? Because sometimes people will take advantage. Sometimes right. people won't. You know, like, it's just, there's no when, any way you put this. And according to God, we're supposed to just assume that we always give of ourselves to please God, to the least of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, who the fuck is the least? Like, you have to spell out things because it's impossible as a fallible human to mm-hmm. know who the right people to give to and who the wrong people to give to are.
Right.
Like, we don't know the answers to all these things. And moreover, why should we be responsible for sorting this all out for our God when God could just allow us to make the correct choices, or at least let us know which... You could at least point out which ones are the correct choices and which ones aren't, and let us then act from that point.
And
right?
I mean, we're having this philosophical discussion starting from the place of, let's pretend that God is real and that these sure. situations are actually going to come back and be how we are judged at the end of our life by some higher power, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're starting the conversation from a really ridiculous point in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to know, honestly, how do I just be the best person I can be? And, you know, not worry about how much fucking flair I gotta wear to please other people or other mystical, magical beings.
Well, and I'm, you know this very well of me. I am a huge proponent of your happiness is something that you create for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You are responsible for being the better you, you know, mm-hmm. and if you don't take ownership of yourself and that the ability to find that, then you're not doing it correctly. And the fact that that Christians and theists in general kind of offload that responsibility onto this magical being is, in my opinion, very irresponsible. It's very like you're not taking that effort onto yourself. You're giving it to somebody else to satisfy for you, and you're either completing or not completing these goals to seemingly work towards this happiness that you're not creating for yourself. You're creating for this God.
Right.
You're not working towards your happiness. You're working towards an entity's happiness that will then someday reward you with happiness. But it's a future happiness for you. It's an immediate happiness for the God, apparently, if it were real.
And it won't happen until you die.
Right.
What?
But instead of working towards that happiness for this entity, you could instead be working for the happiness of yourself.
Not in a nihilistic way, for goodness sakes. Just in a, like, how can I make this the best possible life for me and those around me?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like...
No, you can still... I am and believe in being a very caring and giving person.
I said nihilistic, but I meant hedonistic.
Right, yeah. That was the wrong word.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't...
No, I saw your face, and your face was like, I don't think that's right. No, yeah it was... I meant in a hedonistic way.
Sure, okay. But this does not take away from you being a good person. Like, you can better yourself and still be a very good person to other people. Like, it has nothing... It's just a matter of how you allow yourself to interact in the world and with other people and how you treat other people with regard to how you want them to treat you back. Like, these are things that I think about all the time, and not because of a God, not because of the golden rule, not because I am worried about some punishment after I die. I think about them because I truly care about other people around me, and I care about the world that I live in, and I want it to be a better place. These are the reasons that I care, not because of a God.
Right. I mean, I think that you should behave neither out of a fear of punishment nor out of promise of prizes.
Right.
You should behave as though other people matter to you and your place in their lives matter.
Definitely. Well, that was Matthew chapter 25.
Sure as fuck was.
Did you have anything else to add? Or?
Hell no.
Okay.
I got to clean up my coffee.
So we actually recorded this before we finished our Q&A for Matthew chapter 24.
Correct.
So we haven't done that one yet for ourselves, but you'll have already heard it by the time you hear this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So the next time we're doing an episode, we should be doing, with regard to what they're hearing... I have to point this out for wife, because wife can't keep track of how
time frames
and episodes go. It's 26.
Oh, okay.
26.
Let's
help you out here.
Little Maddie, chapter 26. Well, I don't know. The way you said it was like, we're going to be doing...
No, you're right. Well, sometimes I say things and you're like, I don't fucking know where we are. So I just want to make sure you knew where we were.
Okay.
That's all.
So we're doing a chapter next.
Yes.
And the next chapter that we read... will be Little Maddie, chapter 26.
There you go. All right. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Hey, wife. I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh, my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
like and subscribe, leave an Apple review, join us on Twitter, support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.